Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wished for something with all your heart, but didn't have the words or the vision to call it into existence? Don't feel like a lone ranger. There are countless souls wandering around aimlessly, looking for their missing pieces in life that will complete their big picture of living an abundant, radiant, and thriving life. Today, each and every person suffers from I.O., information overload. We are bombarded with never-ending words. However, I.O. leaves us asking, now what? Where do I go from here? Where do you go to consciously find your way to receive the answers you desire, to improve your life, health status, your proper lifestyle, your family's health and welfare, is to the now what, where do I go from here? The Star Waters and Sandy Rogers Show, airing each Thursday from 2 to 3:30 p.m., is where you'll find your answers. Star and Sandy know how confusing it is having this expert or that health professional barking at you with their opinions of what they know you should be eating, which pill for every ill is just right for you, or what you should be thinking about the availability of your time when it comes to providing healthy food for you and your loved ones. When you are constantly convinced that you lack the time to prepare your own food made with ingredients you purposely add and know it is safe and nutritious, you are now being programmed to eat fast, eat processed, because you're too busy. Don't believe the hype. Together, these wellness advocates will provide cutting-edge information, straight no chasers, to educate you and give you the words and vision to ask the question, now what? Where do I go from here?
Everybody, greetings and welcome to Now What? Where do I go from here? And you know, you've got two lively moderators, Star Waters, also known as the Wellness Wizard, and myself, Sandy Rogers, who also goes by the Wellness Gangster. And together we got a whole bunch of years. Star don't like me telling you it's almost 100. But we've got a lot of firsthand personal knowledge and experiences of reversing what most would call chronic or deadly diseases. And, you know, we both were given death sentences by our doctors. But anyway, we come to bring you information from a different perspective. And so there's a couple of things that we do before we delve into the show. And the first is we give thanks to our ancestors. Our ancestors are blessing us with many, many, many gifts. We know that we stand on their shoulders for courage and strength, knowledge, fortitude, resilience. You know, you just name it and name it, and they're here for us, and we're so ever grateful for that. And so now that we know better, we can do better as we follow their golden wisdom to health and wellness. So, ancestors, we are forever, forever, forever thank you, thankful to you. Whew, ashe, ashe. So before we get into the meat of this show with John Ashford Akintalo, I hope I said that right, Akintalo.
Akintalo.
I may be wrong, but Akintalo. I'm going to get it right in a minute. So we appreciate you guys for being with us today, and we invite for you to eavesdrop on our conversation, and we're going to talk about changing the direction of your life. And audience, you know you're invited to join in the discussion All comments are welcomed, and every voice will be heard. Our call-in number, and I just need to remember to do this more than one time, our call-in number is 516-531-9819, and you will simply press 1 on your phone dial to let us know you want to speak live on air. And then once we open up your mic, just make sure that you're very concerned or cautious about any background noises that you may have, because it does distort the playback quality of the calls, and a lot of our guests and people that can't come on during this time like to go back in and listen again. So just mute your phones once your line is open if you have a comment or a question. And after that, man, just, you know, open your line up when you want to speak. And so without further ado, I'm turning the show over to my partner in life and wellness, Star Waters.
Hey, hello.
Hey.
Hello, Sandy.
Hey.
Hello, Don.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Oh, awesome. Good. Yeah, we're so happy to have you on. I have been geeked all week. Okay, so. all right, everyone. This is John Acantola Ashford, hailing out of Washington State, Camas, from C-Town, Camas, Washington. And he is here to drop pearls of wisdom. And I mean, this brother got a whole bag of pearls, okay? I've known John for somewhere around close to 30 years. But
yes.
And I know about your life, John. But then when I got your bio, like, I don't know beans about this brother, okay? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I know that you always go, you always on your way somewhere, or always on your way coming back from somewhere. But what you do in between going and coming, we all don't always know that. So we'll get into that as the show goes on. But first of all, I would like to start off with an inspirational piece that I thought was just very befitting for our guest today and what he is going to bring to us. All right. You must do your own independent investigation of truth. Most of us believe only what we can see. Our eyes limit us in our perception and experience of reality. Yet, do we realize whoever controls what you see or experience can, in fact, control our perceptions of reality? How then can we determine what is truth and what is not? We must investigate. We must probe. We must ask questions. We must seek. We must know truth intuitively, with our hearts and minds in harmony. The moment we accept what is given to us as truth, we lose our conscious reality. We are living through the eyes of someone else. How can we expect to find peace, harmony, or self if we live through the perception of another? We can't. Whether religion, career, personal liability, or life itself, we must investigate. We must seek. We must probe. We must ask questions. We must be in charge of our own reality and know our own truth. I have a right to know. And that piece is out of Ayanna Van Zandt's book, Acts of Faith. And I thought it was very befitting for our show today. And I'm hearing some noise. I don't know, John, are you like moving around, or Sandy, are you moving around?
No.
I'm not moving. Okay.
I'm just sitting down.
Okay. So.
That might be the ancestors.
It may be.
It may be. Yes, indeed. Thank you for that. So I just wanted to share that because I said this is what it is. We're going to get a whole bunch of stuff to chew on today from John. And Sandy, do you have John's bio? Can you read it? Because I don't have that. I'm sorry. Just so we can get
Well, John, why don't you tell us who you are so that we hear it from your mouth versus, you know, what, because sometimes we doctor up stuff, not doctor up, but, you know, it'd be so clinical what we write on a piece of paper. I would like to hear who you are from you, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sam.
Yeah. Well, first I want to give gratitude to you two sisters and my elders and the ancestors for allowing me to be here today.
Yes.
Who am I? I've got to a point, I'm 56 years old, and I don't know who I am. It's not that I'm lost, it's that I'm in question. So I say that because most people are like, well, who are you? I'll give you some background real quick so people know who I am. I'm originally from Chicago. I was born to Pam and John Ashford. I'm their middle child, actually, because my oldest sister passed before me. And I have a brother, Derek Ashford. I start with that because I wanted to start at the beginning of how I got to be who I am. My parents were very different. We grew up in Chicago. We grew up in the city of Chicago. And when we were talking, I was reading my bio. I was like, what got me here? What got me here is that I remember the first time I got in trouble with my parents. It was because I wouldn't ask a question. And I told my dad that so-and-so told me to do it. And he told me that's the dumbest stuff I've ever heard in my entire life. And I remember getting a whooping for that. I think that might have been one of the only whoopings I got, spankings I got. And it was because my parents instilled in me in the beginning, make choices and you choose what you want to do. Never follow somebody, especially somebody who's going to lead you to some foolishness. So with that, my parents gave me a green light to be me. I came home when I was 12, and I told them I was going to be a Catholic priest. Now, to this day, I don't know how I found this seminary, which was 600 miles away from the city of Chicago. I still don't. I remember somebody coming to my school, but I knew that I wanted something different. I always was, like, locked into spirit. At the time, I was really intrigued by this concept of Yeshua, Jesus. And so at 12, I came home one day from school, and I told my parents, I want to go to this boarding school in Liberty, Missouri, and my parents said, cool. We got on the plane. We went out there, checked it out. I went there like two summers in a row, and then when I turned 14, my freshman year in high school, 13, I actually went to school in Liberty, Missouri. I did that for 8 years, and then I was like, when I got to Rome in 1983, I was like, something's just not sitting with me. This is not what I'm looking for. It's something beyond this. So I come back. I worked with Club Med for a little bit in Mexico and in Central America and the Caribbean. And I was just experiencing the beauty of life, the beauty of this thing called planet Earth. I came to Portland, Oregon, and at the time, this is the funny thing, I came to Portland because I thought I was going to Portland, Maine, so I could hang out with some of my buddies that lived on the East Coast. And I was going to Portland, Oregon, and Portland opened up a whole world for me. Because that's when I ran into, I came here as a youth minister for the Catholic Church. When I was a youth minister, I did that for 2.5 years, and then I joined Multnomah County as a juvenile probation officer, and I'm still there, and I've been working there for 30 years, working with families and young people in the community. And I always was inspired by this concept of Yeshua, Jesus, about helping people step forward. But I knew that it had to be more than that, and I didn't want to be anybody's guru because guru, to me, takes the power away from the individual. And I remember my dad talking to me when I was a kid about making sure I was making my choices. So I got into Multnomah County. I went to court like the first week, and I decided that, man, this is not the job that I thought it was going to be. I need to be able to protect myself. So I started practicing traditional Taekwondo, and I got my black belt in Taekwondo. because I was like, being from Chicago, I knew that you couldn't be excessive, but I wanted to be able to protect myself. So I did that for a little bit. Then I moved on to that's when Star and the EFI community, I ran into them, and it was just like, this was an added piece that I always knew that was more than what Catholicism could add. So I got into EFI, and I started being a practitioner of EFI. And I ran into Star there, and I was, like, really intrigued by this community of people who were speaking to my soul about the possibilities of something being different outside of the spiritual upbringing that I had before. And it was more vast, but it spoke to my spirit. Then I got out of Taekwondo because I was like, you know, as I got older, I was like, man, I don't want these young people to hurt me. So I started to move into meditation and Qigong with Bernie Baird, a Wuji Cinnabar Tai Chi and meditation. And it started to open up that door of the beyond. And what I mean by the beyond, there's certain things that can't be explained. And in Tai Chi and meditation, your body, that's the first time that I realized that the body was really important, can get you there. Your being, so I'm going to go back to this later. The being and the body has two parts. But my body started to have the experience that there was something more, something magic. There was a connection to earth. And so I went with that. And then there was a lot of different modalities that I jumped on. But one of the most important things I want to go back to is that I went to Rockhurst Jesuit University, and they inspired me to always ask questions. The one thing I will say about this Western education that I had through Rockhurst is that you were dinged if you didn't ask questions. So another brother that's real close to me, Antoine Stoudemire, and I always talk about graduating from that institution and what that did for setting you up to be in question of everything. Nothing is off the table of being questioned. The concept of my religion, the concept of who I be, the concept of relationship, concept of money. I just had that hunger. And then I did a lot of modalities. And then I ran into this one sister that used to do these energy readings for me. And she told me to pick up this book called Being You, Changing the World by Dr. Dane Heer. This happened about 7 years ago now. And when I started to read this book, it took me into a whole nother world of what's possible. I was like, I was kind of bored with my job at the time, and I was looking at things about, man, you know, it's got to be more than this. And I'm looking, I keep on asking questions. And here's the gift of the universe, the gift of the creator. If you ask questions, and you keep on staying in the questions, the universe and the creator will bring you more. But you have to ask the question. And a lot of people, and once you ask the question, then you have choices. And one of the things that I'm like king on is being in choice. And I'm choosing consciousness now, which came from this book, Being You, Changing the World by Dr. Dane Heer. And Gary Douglas had this concept about access consciousness. And I got into this because it spoke to me about what was true to my heart. I realized that most people don't make choices because of fear. They won't change their food, even if it makes them ill. They won't leave a relationship,
right,
even if they're sad. They won't do any of this unless they start asking questions. And what happens, fear actually is a distractor that will keep you from being in question and take you out of choice. And so what happens, you turn into a zombie. And one of the things I realized that I couldn't be nobody's zombie, you know, from day one, like I said, you know, going to school overseas, going to school in Europe, I was like, I always was like, I'm not following anybody. I'm always staying choice. And one of the things that Star and I always talked about is that I've had this journey recently with my body. And your body is a gift. And the body is what allows you to have all the feelings, all the physical things that you enjoy. But so many people cut themselves off from their body, and they treat their body like a horrible date. And what I mean by that, it's like, have you ever gone out with somebody that you, at the moment you met them, you was like, this is not going to work. This is not going to work because this is a fool. And I asked myself, John, how long have you been a fool with your body? How many times have you not asked questions of your body about what it desires, where it wants to be, What does it want to eat? And somehow a lot of people relinquish that power of asking questions of their body to give it to somebody else, give it to that medical field. And I'm not saying I don't want to get up here and I don't want to create a polarization of the medical field. So let me say this. If I had to go to the hospital and they were going to save my life, I'm not going to sit outside the door and argue with them. That's ludicrous. But what I am going to do is prevent myself from getting there if I can.
Yes.
So a lot of people, in the past, I was like that. And I challenged myself with that. And I want to share that with people who might listen to this. And people were like, oh, the Western medical field is horrible. Yeah, they've done some jacked up shit. I would agree with that. Yes. But at the same time, they can save your life if you're in a car accident and you're bleeding to death. Let's not be a fool. And so more recently, I've been challenged with being in the question about everything, especially with my body. And a lot of times, you know, I got excited because Star was the first person to introduce me to this concept of raw foods, raw diet. And I'm not completely raw. I eat a little bit of everything. I'm going to talk about why and how I eat later. But it was something that my body said, oh, yeah. And so one of the things I realized about having a relationship and dating your body is that you get to change and stay open the entire time while you're having that relationship with your body. If you ask questions to your body, the body will respond. Sometimes it's not verbally, and sometimes you'll find yourself talking to yourself. And you're not crazy. But when you have gratitude and love up on your body will respond in kindness. But it takes practice to get there because we've been taught that you don't know anything about your body. You judge your body. This is the other thing that is kind of weird with the body. People judge the hell out of their body. Think about this. Most people, when they get up in the morning, before their feet hit the floor, they bombard their body with judgment of my breath doesn't smell right. My face doesn't look this way. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm a horrible person. And when you get in front of the mirror, you start to even judge yourself more. Imagine being in relationship with somebody like that. Could it go on that before your joy is spent? So one of the things I started to do, I'm kind of chunky, and I love up on my body, but I'm in process. So I'm going to ask my body, and I'm going to have kindness, and I'm going to give gratitude for my body for getting me to these 57 years. And so I'm going to ask questions about my body, about what does it desire? Where does it want to go? What does it want to create? And recently, I started paying attention to, I've always been this sensitive brother, and sensitive on multiple levels. Sensitive like I could pick up people's energy. I could pick up energy of entities that are around. I can pick up energy, what energies of creation. When I go in nature, I can actually feel the living source of the trees, of the soil, of the water, of the animals, of the birds. And I realized that that was a gift. And a lot of people shut that down or they don't open that experience up. And so what I've done is I've turned that up. And what I mean by turning it up, I turn it up so I can be more expansive. And what I mean by more expansive, so that my awareness is on. Like, in the past, because of this word that I'm going to use called awareness, I used to tell people, be careful when you get out there. I used to tell that to my children. Like, when they go in someplace, be careful, pay attention. Now I use this concept of awareness, just like the same awareness that I have in nature. If animals can be aware when a storm is coming and when the waters are coming in and they go to higher ground, don't we have access to that too? But what happens is that we shut down our awareness and we give up our power, like I said before. Awareness is a great gift. It's a great gift. But most people throw it out the window. They let their awareness go. I know people, and I'm sorry not smoking this before, that people in relationships, and they know they're with a fool. And it's like, why are they still with that person? Because they relinquish their awareness. Awareness is your best friend. And so going back to what I share with my children, I want them to step in the field of awareness, because an awareness is the abundance of choice. If you're driving down the street and you get the awareness that you shouldn't be going down A Street because something is not right, then turn at the next intersection, because that's your awareness telling you that you can, there might be danger ahead, or there might be money if you turn right. You might find somebody who's willing to hire you or do a job or something. But it doesn't have to be the negative, but awareness is that allowance that it allows you to be in a field of abundance. And I want to go back and say something out that when I talk about consciousness, I mentioned consciousness before in nutrition. For me, consciousness, I take this from Access Consciousness because I like this when I heard it. Consciousness is allowance for everything with no judgment. Now, a lot of people are like, what? I'm going to be an allowance for everything without any judgment. That opens up that I'm not going to get stuck in judgment of others, of myself. I'm going to be an allowance for everything, because what allowance has brought into my life is more awareness of, oh, that's another possibility. Does that make any sense?
It does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm feverishly writing notes, so I'm with you all the way, my brother. In class.
So a lot of people, I guess I'm going to jump on something immediately, because one of my family members said they might jump on here and listen. They called me in the middle of the night, and they were asking about this virus that we got going on. I'm not going to bash or jump on or say which one thing or another thing. All I would say is this. What research can you do to empower yourself to make greater choices for you and your family?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you believe that your TV is giving you all the truth, then you need to go with that. That's your awareness. But if you figure that there's something out there that's different, you might want to go ask and do some more research. Research means that you go and ask tons of questions. And the number one person that you go to is your body. Body, is this appropriate for me? Because your body won't lie to you.
Right.
And a lot of people want to go back, well, is this this? People say, is this 5G? I was like, man, what do you know? What do you know? Ask your, if it's something that you know, and this is the other piece, do not ever, please, God, never give up your knowing. Your knowing is paramount. I've shared with Star before, I do this domestic violence group for African-American men in Portland through the program called Savalti. A lot of times the cats come in there and they want to argue with me, and I'm like, I'm not going to argue, and I'm not going to belittle you from your choice. I'm going to ask you questions. But I want you to always follow your knowing. Like a lot of people aren't willing to follow their own knowing in things. It's like this. Me and Star laugh. So I'm going to tell you guys the story I told Star last week. Now, I go to this naturopath, and I like eating organic food, and I'm 57 years old, and I can't eat and drink the things I used to in the past because my body, I've not been the greatest date with my body in the past. So some things I have allergies to. So there's this local store in Portland that I went to, and I went to pick up some spices because I like getting my spices there. But something with my old self went over to the ice cream section. And I knew that for me, when I walk through a grocery store, I don't go to the frozen section because the nutritional value in the frozen section is less than on the other side of the store with the produce. Okay? So as I walk through the store, it gets cooler because everything's frozen, and I walk past my nemesis, which is ice cream. And I get there, and it's this, I call it Tom and Jerry's, but Ben and Jerry's ice cream was 2-for-1. So without question, I reach in the freezer and I buy these two containers of ice cream. Now I get home and I'm all excited, but in the back of my mind, my body said, "Are you the biggest fool or what? You know we can't take this. Please don't do this to us." And I'm like, and so what I did is like, "Oh, shut up, body. You don't know what you're talking about. This is a treat."
I was going to say a treat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a treat. It's more of a trick or treat than anything. So I go at night and fix this wonderful dinner, this organic meat, organic vegetables, salad, you know, man, all this wonderful food. At the end of the night, I brought out this ice cream for my wife. And my wife's like, "Babe, we don't eat this no more. What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, this is just a treat." I told Star that I ate that, and my body said, "Okay, we got a fool. We're going to knock his head. We're going to bump his head. This is a fool." I haven't been this sick in so long.
Yep.
Because I was going with the old mindset that this ice cream was yummy. What I failed to do in the store is ask my body, "Body, do you really want this?" Because mm-hmm. there's been other times that I've gone to a store and I was like, and I have this sugar addiction that I'm working on. And since asking my body, I have a little bit more control of it. But one time I went to this store and I went to this place in Portland called the Pie Spot. And I was at work and I took a break and I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna go get me a lemon pie." And this is when I just started using this tool of awareness, asking questions. So, but I didn't do it when I was in my job. So I jump in the car, drive over to this bakery, go to the door, and as I put my hand on the door, I ask my body, "Body, which pie do you want?" And my body says to me very kindly, "What are you doing here?" And I'm like, "Huh?" The funny thing is that the sister on the other side of the door was looking at me, and she's like, "Is this dude going to come rob me?" Because I'm like talking to my body outside the door with my hand on the door like, "What? I drove 5 minutes over here to get this pie, and then when I got back in the car after I decided not to purchase it, I was like, this is crazy." So I got back into my job, and what was funny is that my body was picking up the desires of other people, because when I walked back down the hall, one of my coworkers on the other side of my wall was like, "Man, I sure could go for something sweet. Man, a dessert would be fine right now."
Wow.
And so what I realized in that 10 seconds, what I realized is that we have the capability with our body to pick up other people's energy. Mm. So all those places where you're going through life and you think it's yours, it possibly isn't, because your body, to me, in my theory, and some of the people that I hang out with and Access Consciousness, your body is infinite. Your being is infinite. Your body isn't. Your being is infinite. So your body is the vehicle getting you around to have all your feelings and your physical associations, your emotions and all. But you have to be careful, because it could be deceptive and it could be somebody else's. How many people do you know that might be eating for somebody else, or eating for somebody who's dead, or drinking for somebody else, or drinking for somebody who's dead? When you step into the field of awareness, you can start asking your question, is this mine? And one of the things that I've done is that I've just started doing that with everything. I've changed my waves of where I buy. My wife and I, certain stores I don't buy produce from. And it's because when I go in there, my body tells me this produce is not going to be sufficient for my body. So I find myself going to farmer markets a lot more often. I go to co-ops in Portland. I go to a couple stores that are in Portland that I call New Seasons. And because when I go in there, there's something about the vegetables and the fruits in there that gives my body an awakening. And I go with that. And I think that one of the things that we're missing out on are not being willing to ask questions to their body. And I'm going to go back to something that I think that happens in a lot of communities, and especially the communities I work in. They don't realize that they're picking up on other people's stuff. And they live their entire life in reaction mode. Their entire life is reaction, not action. There's a difference. And I catch myself because I have a love in the community that I've been doing in Portland. I do a lot of interrupting racism classes I've done in the past with Resolutions Northwest, and I like doing that work. And I decided after doing that work that I want to do this work different, because a lot of times I feel that when you get to that work, we're in reactionary mode. We're not in action. I'm writing a book right now, and in part of the book I've been asking myself, you know, I'm very blessed because on my mom's side of the family, I have a lot of people that were significant players in the civil rights during the 60s. And when I go back and I read some of the books, one of my cousins wrote a book about some things that my family did recently. And one of the questions I asked myself in my awareness and being in this consciousness mode is, what tools am I using today that will allow me to have another outcome than my ancestors used? And what I mean by that is that how am I evolving with my awareness and the work around this separation that goes on in our communities? And so I thought about it like this. The cars that my father and my grandparents, my aunt and uncles drove back in the 60s are not the same cars that I drive today. Today the cars are more efficient. So with that analogy, how can I use new tools, come up with a whole new reality outside of this reality, which will give people more space to be? And that's some of the games or some of the questions and games I play with myself to be able to find this, to expand this concept of consciousness. You guys have any questions?
I have something I would like to go back, what you said about, you know, being in choice, and are you operating off of your own knowing or someone else's knowing as far as the food is concerned? So there's a kinesiology modality for those of us who are not astute and spiritual and in tune as you are, John. It's called the TIT test. And yes, you did hear me right, TIT, which is short for like titty. And so what you do, anytime you have a question about whether anything is good for you or not, is you take that particular thing. So you might appear to be a little crazy, but hey, if you're in front of the display there in the freezer section, the next time you think you want some Ben and Jerry's, and take one of the Ben and Jerry's and hold it to your chest, that's why they call it the tit chest, or the tit test.
Yeah.
And hold it there and stand straight up, erect. If your body naturally just moves backwards, then that particular thing is not for you. If your body naturally moves forward, then your body needs that. So for our audience, if you want to stay in the knowing of your own body, start doing the TIT test. You can do that with medication. You can do that with food. And you are so right. You know, we are operating on someone else's knowing and desires. And the advertisers know this oh so well by the commercials they put on and all of that. You know, you're not thinking about no pizza, but all of a sudden now you want to call the people or run to the freezer and get out that frozen pizza. You're not even connecting the dot that, you know, 15 minutes ago they had a Domino's commercial on TV, you know.
Right.
So they know subliminal and suggestive, and repetition is what feeds our mind and what moves our body to make the choices that we make. But that's all I wanted to put in.
Sandy, I agree with you.
Let me just make one quick announcement, because it's so important, the things that you are sharing with us, John, and I really, truly, truly appreciate it. Audience, if you have a question or a concern, you would like to be live on air with us, our call-in number is 516-513-5150. 531-9819, and you would push 1 on the dial to let us know you're going to speak, that you want to speak live on air, and we're going to open up the phones in a couple of minutes. John, there was one question or one statement that you made that was just an eye-opener for me, and it was such a difference in how I was raised. I'll be 70 in a couple of months, so, you know, that's a 14-year difference between you and I.
Yeah.
But we were not encouraged to ask questions. And you could be labeled any number of things by asking too many questions. Troublemaker, nosy, just, you know, always wanting to be in other people's business, just a whole lot of things. And so for a lot of people in my age group or older, we were reluctant to asking questions, especially of ourselves, you know, because it was such a fine job done in conditioning us to believe whatever it is that somebody else, the other person always knew more than us. And, you know, we had to get our knowledge from someone else or something else, a book or something. And so I love that. But I think, because I resonated so strongly with it, that is possibly the beginning point for a lot of people of not being able to access or to use that concept of awareness, because then you're like asking yourself to be able to answer these questions. And, you know, people may think that it's what's the word? May think that you're being smarty pants. I don't know. I can't think of a good word to
yeah.
put right there.
So,
but you know, so
yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things, and this is a piece that is, and I'm gonna. This is primarily this is for everybody. Because I realize a lot of stuff that I'm beginning to find out is universal, but I'm going to use this from the African-American community. Well, that was a safety valve for African-Americans in racist America that you couldn't ask questions. If you ask too many questions, you would be killed. So what happens is that what was instilled in us, and it wasn't, I don't want to say a fault, it was at that time the thing that some people chose to do for safety. And I'm not mad at that. What I'm asking of others and people who might listen to this, is it possibly the time to choose something different in this 10 seconds so that you can live beyond this reality?
Exactly.
I never fought my ancestors. I'm in total gratitude for what they got me. But what I think I'm taking on as my responsibility and consciousness is what new reality can I create for my children and people coming after me right now? And one of the things is to be in question. So I get why people can ask questions. My mom was born in Bessemer, Alabama. If you ask questions with Klan an audience, you would not live long. Now, here is the caveat, though. If you use consciousness and ask questions, you might not arrive in that space and that time for that to happen to you, for anything to happen to you. So what I would like to introduce to people is that what would happen if you open yourself up to a world of consciousness where you just don't show up in those spaces of trouble, and so you can be in questioning. Now, people say, oh, John, that sounds like magic hocus pocus. What if it is? But what if it creates a new reality that you don't have to live without asking questions? And remember what I said, never judging what we did in the past, never judging yourself what you did in the past. If you act like a cat, I was told that cats have 10-second increments of their thought process. Every 10 seconds, they turn over their thought process. What is the gift of that we could adopt that would allow us to stay in choice so that we can never get stuck in the past ever again?
Love it.
And I think that a lot of people get stuck because, okay, scripturally, you don't put new wine in old skins because the skins will pop. Could we do about putting this new information in new skins? And that's where consciousness has opened up this door for me. I'm not going to go into any resistance or limitation or separation for people anymore. A lot of times when I think about this is that people are like, well, what are you saying about the old people? I'm not, man, I got total gratitude for them people and my ancestors. Are you crazy? But when does it come a time that I make a choice that I have to do something different without judging myself and judging the other person? That's the gift of consciousness. I am going to be in total allowance of everything and judge nothing. Nutrition. You start to be in allowance. Like, for example, some people could eat anything and get away with it to a certain extent. The first time the body says no, then you can ask. The body is giving you an opportunity to ask the question, what else is possible in this 10 seconds that we can do different than we did before? But what happens, people ignore it. And that's what me and Star talked about before. I'm going to take this pill over here, but I'm going to keep on eating this over here. And the body's giving you a warning sign. That red light is blinking on your forehead, and your ass ain't paying attention.
Right.
But, yeah, never. Well, I judge our ancestors for, like you said, my parents and all, and what they did in the past. They chose what they chose at that time because that's the information that they had. When you get new information, ask if that information is appropriate for you, and you get to choose something different. Now, at the same time, I don't want to use profanity because I want to be respectful, but I don't give a blank about people's judgment of me now. I'm going to do what John's going to do because I'm going to be in choice of me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've done with this, every time somebody gives you a judgment, what would it be like if you turned that judgment on its back and made that money? So every time somebody judged you about what you're choosing today, you take that as a compliment of money and say thank you. So that what happens is that you start to dissolve those judgments coming to you, that when they come on, there's nothing for it. It's nothing to it anymore. It's no energy behind it.
Right.
And that takes practice. Because the first time Star told me about raw food, I was like, oh, Lord have mercy, Star. Man. There's a salad that Star gave me that had avocados in it. I thought I went to heaven. but I wasn't in resistance of something new. Meanwhile, I have friends here in Portland. If I say, well, let me fix you this, like if I had some friends over, I said, I'm gonna have half of the stuff I'm gonna have is gonna be raw. The other stuff is gonna be cooked. A lot of people be hesitant until they taste it. Sometimes it's being the space of opportunity that will allow other people to step into a whole new way of living. And that's what I've taken upon myself to be in that area, in that space. I want to be in the space of where, how can I use my consciousness, my choice, to offer others around me to have another way of living? But it's not my
right.
And it's not my responsibility for them to choose.
Right.
That's why I always tell people that I'm instructing on having their family with new choices to eat, that they don't give them a choice. Basically, stop being the town crier where you announce everything that they're about to eat and it has this, or I didn't make it like I used to make it, and instead of put that in it, I got this in it. You know, you're giving them too much information. Okay, if they got either a yes or a no, they're going to say, no, that's okay, I'll pass. But if you put yourself in the position of being the queen, or in your case, the king of your kitchen, you prepare the food, you serve it, you sit back on your throne, and you wait for the positive reaction.
Yes.
That's how it works.
Madeline has been holding. I'm going to open up her phone so that she can speak with us. Go right ahead, Madeline.
Hey, Amanda.
Hello, my beautiful sisters. Hi, Star. Hi. How are you doing? Nice meeting you, John. I live in Sedona, Arizona.
Nice, sister. Thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome. To add what you've been saying and everything you've been saying is right on, and how I live my life, and what you said, Star, about, you know, putting an item to your chest, and that's because we are our personal pendulum by using our body to say yay or nay. And I do it all the time. The other day, yesterday, I was at the health food store, and I said to my soul sister, I want a cookie. And so I'm looking at all the cookies on the shelf, every single package. I'm looking at them, and by the time I finished looking at all of them, I was satiated. It's like, I don't want any cookies. Even though they're healthy cookies and gluten-free cookies, I didn't want any of them. I just felt stuffed just from reading the labels. It was awesome. So I walked away.
Yep.
It's funny.
Yep.
And to add to your consciousness conversation, because I have not right now because the library is closed, but I have gatherings every week, and the topic of conversation is conscious communication. We are leveling up our vocabulary. When we look back at how our parents spoke, and even further back to, you know, 100 years ago, how people spoke, we are leveling up into recognizing that we must, and I'm going to use that word must, use empowering words. When somebody says to me, oh, that doesn't taste bad, what the hell does that mean? It either tastes good or it doesn't taste good. But using the word bad is a negative word, so don't use it. If you taste something and it's not to your liking, okay, that's great. It's not to your liking, but it's not bad. So that's what I call leveling up in our conscious communication. And the other word you used, John, was willing. And that is the key for all of us. We have to be willing to alter our way of life in order to feed this body with the most healthy, nutritious food and love. Because we could be here for more than 100 years as long as we take care of this vessel that carries our soul around. And we came here because this is the only place that we could share emotion.
That's awesome.
That's my input for right now.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
And
I would like to add on.
Speaking of the truth. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
I would like to add on to that. One of the things, even with the vocabulary, something that I consider myself the king of engagement. I've been working with young people and families in Portland for over 30 years. And recently I came upon a tool that a friend of mine, Dr. Dane, here shared with me, which just changed, has been a game changer. It's called IPOV, Interesting Point of View. Once I realized that every single being has a point of view, and it's simply a point of view that they have, it has made me step closer to freedom of living in my eating, in my relationship, in my business. Not getting stuck. For example, like, sister, one of the things I realized that when I do race talks with people, they get stuck on words. What if you could diminish that by just looking at it as just a point of view, but not your point of view? So, like, a lot of times other coworkers of mine get triggered by young people because they say and they do certain things. And I'm like, what question could I throw at this that would change all that? Because it's simply a point of view that that person has. And if I'm not in resistance of that point of view, what else can happen? Because what also happens in this reality for me is the polarity with everything. Healthy people, all of us who go to health stores have this superiority thing going on to the people who go to the Safeway and Kentucky Fried Chickens and that type of place. I am asking, is it possible to relinquish that to be the space of possibilities of changing? Because a lot of times people get stuck on words, and those words get in the way of energy. And energy is really the universal language that I'm choosing right now. Because, and it's in practice. I'm not saying that I got this 100%, but it's in practice because I'm trying to get around this whole concept of polarization and limitation and separation. I believe I see a utopian world where we could be in oneness that we came from. And I'm willing to be the energy of interesting point of view because I realize that point of view that person has, like Sister said about this being bad, that's their vocabulary in that 10 seconds. When I invite somebody to my house, I'm not in judgment if they like it or not because the number one thing for me, and this goes back to where a lot of people say, oh, my God, John, how can you say this? I'm going from what I enjoy. And my enjoyment is contagious. So what would it be like to be the energy of interesting point of view, which allows people to be in their space until they say, you know, the sister that was from Arizona said, you know, I really, you know, this is not, oh, this is kind of groovy. This is cool. But if you're that space, what I'm finding, especially my experience working with young people, I don't have to redirect them because when I change my space and my energy, it's an invitation for something different in oneness. I don't know if that makes sense at all, but that's the space that I'm navigating in. And then when I'm teaching classes, I'm inviting people.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
I'm sorry,
sense.
Start here.
Perfect. Yeah, you're right on the money, John. Right on. Yeah, it's really in that space of allowing, always allowing. Allowing the self and allowing others with no judgment. Right on.
Yes. Now what I'll say also because I want people who might listen to this later say, well, are you talking about somebody abusing me? No. I'm not even allowing you're not going to abuse me. That ain't happening. So I don't want people to listen to this later. So he's just saying turn the other cheek. Nah, not me. What I'm saying is I'm going to be in awareness that I won't be there for you to slap my cheek. But I'm going to be an allowance of everything happening because it's supposed to happen. But I have total control in my choices of where I show up and how I show up. Without belittling or making somebody different because they choose a different vocabulary. When people hang out with me, I use the F word a lot, and I use it because a lot of times people want to try, oh, this person is special. I'm special because I'm a being, a human. I'm a being. I'm a humanoid. That's what makes me special, but everybody else is special too. So for me, this whole concept of nutrition, it's been like plague that it's people who use nutrition are better than other people. No, we just making different choices in this 10 seconds.
Right.
If we did not make it a wall that you had to climb over, but a grass that you could walk across, how many more people would come over to that grass? Because like I said, when Star invited me, came over here and fixed that salad, I was sold. Now, if she would tell me, John, this is going to do this, and this, I might have been like, hasn't it? Man, when she went to Atlanta, when she moved to her house in Atlanta, I came over and she cooked dinner for me. I was like, hey, because I knew it was going to be, because I'm open to that. Because there was never any resistance that Star gave me about this being healthy. It tastes good.
Or the stir-fried green.
Space? Oh, yeah, man. Or the recent kale salad you showed me how to make. I've made that joint wheat recently, and my whole family's eating it. And it's not, I don't have to sell it to anybody because I'm being the space of an invitation of something being. Mm-hmm. Because what we don't realize is that people like different. And like the sister said, the amazing thing that I was amazed by the sister in Arizona when you said about going to the store and tasting the cookies, that's energy. And a lot of people don't realize that you can taste stuff through energy, and then you don't have to have the physical. We are not touching on 90% of who we be because we forgot this small word called energy. If we start to expose and play with this concept of energy, our reality will change dramatically. It's just the energy of things.
Yeah. And we got one more caller.
Okay, thanks a lot.
516-451, you want to give us your name and your contribution to the conversation, please?
Yeah, hi. I don't know if you can hear me well. It's Brian Justin. How you doing?
Hey, Brian,
doing
well. Thanks for calling
hi.
In.
Hey, you're welcome. You know, I'm listening to this conversation. Very interesting because I spent a lot of time dealing with nutrition myself, not only taking care of my own body but helping others. And it's something very important that John said I just forgot the word, but in my own mind, you did say something about polarity. And it's amazing how we like to polarize things because it's almost like it's from an attack. You know, when we're younger, I remember being a kid and being in a situation where I didn't know what a healthy soul was. I was 8 years old, but I had been attacked by different allergies. So it forced me to stop eating cheese at a very young age. My mom was mad at me because I was the only kid in my family that ate macaroni without the cheese. So my sister laughed and said how special. But I didn't realize how special that was because there was no one around to tell me that. But I think that we have a natural order of being bipolar. We electrify, we're electric, and then we're also magnetic. And when we, let's say Sister Madeline said about the cookie. Nothing really touches anyway. Energy, you know, in the universe is, nothing really ever touches. So a lot of times we think we're feeding ourselves and we're really not, but we don't need to really touch it. We can be turned on by the sights and the colors and the sounds of things. That's also nutrition. And so I look at how my favorite color was blue. And it's kind of like what you also said, John, about the being controlled, the voice is controlled. So sometimes the things that are our favorite or sometimes the thing we look at as good is actually a reflection and it's something that we're trying to neutralize.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's the whole thing that I was talking about when being in question. Ever since I got in this whole concept of being in question of everything, I don't find myself getting stuck. I'm going to take it out of food to relationship. If you hold somebody in a space that they can't be different, they can't be different. Then you, and when they choose to start being outside of that space of that you held, then it becomes an agitation. When you start being in question, you can be an allowance for that person to be whoever they want to be and not take it personal. We live in a world that immediately when something goes on, I have to go to the other extreme of it to defend and hold that space to prove that I'm right. It goes in food. It goes in relationship. But what happens if you just go with the question about and listening to the body about what is this? Like ask questions. What is this? Can I change this? And if I can change it, what energy must I be to change it? Because I really believe, like that sister said, when going to that place with the food, everything is energy. Scientists will tell you that left and right, that everything in the universe is energy. What happens if you tap into that energy and ask questions about energy? And how can you be more energetic?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's, it makes me realize, like, in a relationship, too. Because, you know, just like with food, you have longing and you also have craving. But
yeah.
The world right now is built up on so much craving that it's like stark, loony, mad craving, and people are addicted. And that's what can also go wrong with relationships. But you can long for a person and it be not harmful. I don't spend all my time with my significant, but we're in contact a lot. And, longing is okay. But as far as just questioning things, I think it takes a lot of, like, singling out, because you just say one, you know, oneness. And it means if you have to single something out, then you localize it so that it's just you and that thing, and then you can get a real relationship with things. And then once you have that, you can establish where to go from there. it's not actually really simple. It's like up and down, in and out, zero and one.
But yep.
We get into complications so much.
Yeah. So, and when I get in that situation, I ask, when you talk about one of the things that I've learned recently, I heard this a long time ago, I heard this brother, Dr. Phil Valentine, say this. What are you doing when you're trying to understand something and figure something out? You're putting yourself under something. What I've learned in the last 2-3 years that has been amplifying in my ear from this brother Gary Douglas, what if I use choice instead of trying to understand? And how much space do we spend time in figuring out and understanding instead of making a choice and using our awareness? I find myself in the past, like I said to you guys earlier, when I work with other people and I'm working with them around racism and stuff, I spent lots of time and years trying to understand some shit, which was redundant. It got me nowhere. I find now there's a lot easier to do this work because even with everything that I'm doing, I'm using the whole concept of asking a question and using my awareness with it. Because I say this. This reality, I have two concepts. It's the reality that we live in of I don't want to put in. This reality has some stickiness to it. The reality that I'm talking about is beyond this reality, and it's the reality of possibility. Everything is possible. Everything is possible. This reality, you get stuck because a lot of people say, I have problems. When young people come to my office and they come talk to me, the moment they sit down in my chair, they talk to me. When they leave my office, I say, you came in my office with problems. You get to leave my office with possibilities. Which sets up a whole new awareness on how you can navigate. So when we're eating, I'm going to take this back to food. If food is a problem instead of a possibility, people aren't going to run to it because that's heavy. People want some lightness in their life. So what happens when we change everything to a possibility?
Everything is open. Opening is
yes, yep. Everything's possible.
Everything is everything.
Yep, everything's everything. It goes back. And this reality does not want us to be in that space of everything is everything.
Right.
And here's the other piece that comes that's making me think about this. This is a place that wants you to be in order. It wants you to be rational. And when you take those two words and you look at that, there's no creative in that. Creativity, rational means to have a shortage of something. Mm-hmm. Irrational is beyond that. This reality is designed to keep you stuck. The antidote is question, choice. Choice all the time.
Wow. Ratio is right. Rational, like, I remember Andre 3000, he was like the common denominator, the nigga numerator. And, you know,
yeah.
A ratio is really a fraction, whether you have a numerator and a denominator. And
yep.
Somebody has to be on top, somebody has to be on the bottom. So the idea is
right.
To put us on the bottom where we're looking up because we're supposed to be organized or you can't have order. And so it makes it really, do we have choices or do we have decisions? And I like choices. I had learned that about, like, with ice cream. I was doing a course, and they were like, choose this ice cream. Like, which one do you want? I think it was, like, I forgot the flavor. It was, like, lemonade or chocolate. And you have to take it back into it's my choice. You know, they tell you to decide, but you have to choose, and there's a big difference because it leaves you open, and you lose your options. But when it's time to decide, then you cut off everything and get to work, so you can choose. But it's really like comfort zones and stuff like that. Being comfortable and opening up so that, just like when you see your students, I know I had a similar thing because I was a construction manager for years. So I would talk to people and I had to deal with like, conflict resolution and negotiation and stuff. And so a lot of times I had to get like the carpenter and the electrician to agree because they work on top of each other and they're always fighting. And at the end of the day, they have to work together, because at one point the electrician has to be over the carpenter, and then at one point the carpenter has to be over the electrician. And it's it goes for everything we do. We just have to organize, but we should be subject to an order. We can be creative, and you know, creativity is like the spark of life. That's why we have the colors.
And creativity, think about everything that we love and desire. It came out of somebody being willing to be totally different and come up with something that wasn't there. They weren't following the order. They were not following the order. And I go back to people like friends, like if we go back to food and nutrition.
Yeah.
When I cook greens, like I like collard greens, okay? And so something I'm going to show people that this is coming out of order. I was raised where you put pork and you put a lot of water and onions and garlic in these greens. And you boil them down.
I remember that.
And you eat them. They were good. I love that. Then I was introduced that, John, if you steam these greens, just steam them. Don't put them in the water. Steam them for 2 to 3 minutes. Take them off and take olive oil. Heat up some olive oil, put garlic in it, take it off the fire, put the greens back in, saute, and add salt and pepper with that and lemon juice on top. Everybody who eats my greens now be like, what the hell is that?
What's your address? That sounds really good.
Do you see the difference?
I know, right?
I was willing to look at something totally, and what I'm saying is like, how do you invite people to that space, but being that space? See, what happens is that I don't have – so energetically, like I told the story earlier, if I was picking up my coworker who had the desire for pie and I got my butt in the car and drove across town and got this pie and got there and my body said no, how can I also use that for the positive? Ask questions of my body. If I was asked my body before I got in the car, body, do you really want a pie? My body would be like, no. If I really asked my body when I was in the store, as I walked past, I could walk past the freezer food, do you really want this? No. What happens is I got in trouble because I refused to ask questions, and I got back in this reality of being on automatic pilot.
I love that.
All right. Hey, lovely talking to you all. Great show.
Thank you.
I liked what you said, brother, about longings or cravings, you know. I mean, once you think about it, like, what's the difference between having a longing and having a craving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they both of them drive you to do something that you know you shouldn't be doing. But if you have a longing for something, to me that seems like it's a memory thing, that longing takes you back to, you know, a thought, a smell, being with people, you know, that you love. A craving seems like it's more of where you don't have that, you know, you're just being driven, and you're going to eat it because it was a craving. You don't have any possibility that you have a choice in it. And I like those two words, longings or cravings, because that's need to ask ourselves. In this world today, you're going to have some cravings because the food manufacturing companies make sure, just like Lay's potato chips, I bet you can't eat just one. Heck yeah, they're going to win that bet because they have put they put chemicals in there that's going to make your body from the pleasure center in your brain say, woo, I want more, I want more, I want more. And you're going to keep putting your hand down in that bag until there's nothing left in that bag but crumbs. So we have to know, and I love this, about asking questions and seeking answers. Because the more we ask questions and the more we seek answers, the clearer we will be in the choices that we make. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you, y'all. Y'all have a great day, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, peace,
thank you, Brian, for calling in.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Peace, y'all.
Oh, wow.
All right, so we're down to the last 12 minutes or so of the show. So anyone, if you're interested to have a comment, question, or contribute to the discussion, our call-in number, 516-531-9819. Hit 1 on your dial. It'll let us know you want to speak live on air with us. And so I'm going to turn it back over to you, John. I can listen to you all day. You are absolutely fabulous.
Thank you, sister. Thank you. One of the things I want to talk about in closing, as I teach these Access Consciousness classes that I go across the country now, and I've been in Atlanta and I did a bars class. I actually teach a foundation class, which actually is this new modality that I stepped into. Well, it's not new. It's been around for a while, but of opening people up, or not opening people up, introducing them to a space within themselves of consciousness. There's two things that I teach. One of my favorite two is SOP, but I'm going to talk about bars because that's the intro that I've been teaching. Bars classes actually is this hands-on modality, and it's 32 plus points on the head that you hold, and you teach people how to do this, and it allows them to go into those spaces of cravings, of judgment, of money, of control, of form and structure. I've been teaching this class since 2016 now, and it has changed. Last night my wife ran my bars, and I actually have exchanges all the time with people with bars, but it's a modality that I've found out that actually can help benefit all aspects of living: your diet, your nutrition, your money, your body, the thinking process, and a lot of times, if it's not this, anybody who might listen to this later or some listeners now, I would invite you to open up those spaces to look at what can create more space for you to have greater choice and freedom. I mean, even in today's time, it's kind of funny. It's like the people that I hang out in the circle of the people I hang out with, Access Consciousness, they're not panicking with all of this going around, because some of the tools that have been given about this is just a situation in this reality. When you step outside this reality, you can see what's actually really going on. It's like this. You can't tell your house needs painting until you step outside of your house. A lot of people don't step outside of themselves to look at themselves to figure out what choices could they create in their world that would create a new way of being. And I would like to, if people are interested in that, I'm definitely interested in traveling and teaching more people about some of these concepts and these tools. Because I say that for myself, it's changed everything. And what I've learned is that we could always gain new tools that would allow us to have greater choice, which in ultimate leaves, and a lot of people are looking for freedom. And I think that right now what you observe is people losing sight of their freedom because they're choosing to stay in this reality. Mm-hmm. And then what the other piece of it, if I could say this to some people, I don't know if a lot of your listeners watch TV, turn that off and go inside and ask questions.
Yes.
Turn that off.
Say it again. And
what I'm saying is, and then people say, well, where do I get my information from? I get my information from awareness. I will watch certain things, but I'm not going to be inundated. If my body tells me, if I turn something on and my body says, John, after 2 minutes of this is bullshit, we don't like it, I'm turning it off.
Yep.
I'm moving on to something different. That same thing Star talked about, some of the chemicals in food that make you want to eat it up until it's gone. It's the same thing that creates a space in this reality of watching TV and being addicted to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is that you relinquish your question, you relinquish your choice, and you go on automatic pilot on how you eat, how you program, how you watch, what you watch. It's just like, sometimes I was telling my children, you know, I was watching I was like, I came downstairs and they were watching this program of like the housewives of whatever, of L.A., Chicago, Atlanta, New York, Detroit, Kalamazoo. And what I'm like, I was kept on asking my kids, I was like, do you all pick up the energy of this?
Yeah.
As I come down the stairs, I can pick up the energy of this TV inundating this room with energy of confusion, of drama,
mm-hmm.
trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And no wonder people walk outside and they have horrible, sucky relationships because they've been inundated with this energy.
Right.
What happens when you change and you and this is a test you can do for yourself. All you have to do is turn to another page in living, which could be, I'm going to pick up a book, which I know people like that, to pick a book, and maybe you don't pick up books anymore, maybe you pick up the computer on a book. I'm going to change, and I'm going to hang out with this different people this week so that I can see what my experience is like. And I'm not saying that the people you used to hang out with was wrong, but just ask your body, what does it desire? And
mm-hmm.
I believe that when you start asking yourself, your body questions, you will be surprised. And people who talk about weight loss, one of my friends, and this is a battle that I'm still having with myself, what part of weight gain is not what you eat, but energy of what you be?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that really floored me because people like weight gain is only from what you eat. I'm beginning to realize that it can also be the same way that sister talked about people going in the store and she came across those cookies. You could also pick up weight from other people.
Yeah, that's
but you
true
have to be willing to start asking questions.
In The Secret, they tell you that if you are desiring to lose weight, when you see folks that are obese, look away from them. Do not look at them.
Yeah.
Draw your visual attention away from them because you do not, you know, if you're looking at them, then that's what you're drawing to you. So that's a very valid
yeah.
point. Yes.
Yeah. And that's and that goes back to what I'm saying about judgment, getting out of judgment. What if you have no point of view about that? And but you only can get there when you give yourself a break and you get some space and you can step away from things. And that's what I invite people. That's what I like to invite people to. And also, and I know that we're running out of time. If anybody has any questions for me and you want to keep in contact with me and see some of the things that I'm doing, can I talk about my website?
Oh,
absolutely.
Please do. Yes. Yes.
Now is time.
So if you want to catch up and keep in contact with me, you can go to www.beingjohnashford.com. I have a cooking show that I have on there. I have some things I talk about consciously that I share on that program. And you can see me on Facebook where I do a lot of lives. And like I said, if anybody's interested in learning any of these classes, borrowed classes or foundation classes that would allow them to step in a new space of choice and freedom, please hit me up at www.beingjohnashford.com.
Awesome. Before we go,
you guys have any other questions?
The show, I have one piece that I want to leave our audience with, and it's going to take probably about a minute and a half. I'm going to close with this.
Okay.
You must be willing to die in order to live, and this is a Yoruba proverb. Most of us have been taught that death is the ultimate end. Death is frightening. It is dark. It's unknown, beyond our controls. We resist death. We brace ourselves against it. We run away from because we do not understand. Death merely means change. When single people marry, their single life dies. As people age, their days of youth are gone. Death is the prerequisite of change. When we become willing to change, we learn to accept death as a meaningful new beginning. We may never like the idea of death. It may never make us comfortable. However, when we want to change anything in life, we must be willing to face death. And the affirmation is, I move peacefully through the darkness into the light of change. And John, that is exactly what you have been instructing us to do from your life work, from your life experiences, and from your future awarenesses in life. You have been a jewel in a treasure chest, and I'm just running my hands through all the wonderful jewels that you have brought to us today, and it's been so amazing you being here with us.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
Thank you,
I'm so excited,
John,
to be able to meet
thank
with you.
You
guys. Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah.
And I guess,
in closing, I would ask, yes.
Go right ahead.
Please, people, stay in choice. Here's a piece I'm going to share. What would it be like for people to wake up every morning with this mantra? All life comes to me. This comes from Access Consciousness. All life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory.
Mm-hmm.
I ask people who listen to this to say that 100 times in one day, as you're driving, as you're walking, as you're praying, all life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. Change the energy around you and step into a new world of freedom. Be the energy that you desire for the change that you desire in your living. Know that what you know is a gift from the Creator, the universe, God. Never, ever judge you. Never throw judgments towards yourself or others. Be in the question of what else is possible. And on that note, sisters, I really appreciate y'all having me. And I hope that whoever listens to this in the future are blessed, and that they create reality that they live live.
Awesome.
Peace and blessings to y'all.
Peace and blessings to you.
And how do we get to know how we can get the bars classes going or whatever? I know you and I talked about perhaps doing that here in Atlanta.
Yes. So if people are interested, I'll come and travel. I usually need about 10 people to show up. So if you can gather a community of 10 people, and I can negotiate that, I will come and teach bars any place. And there's another class I teach, Foundation. But if you go to my website, www.beingjohnasher.com, you'll see some of the classes I teach. And you join my webpage, and I send out information. And you can email me and ask me more questions about those classes. There's tons of classes. There's a class that is my favorite, which actually – it's not a body process, but it is a body process, an energetic body process that can be done online. And the bars I have to do in person, but the SOP sessions, Simply Possibilities, can be done remotely. And it creates miracles in the body and the being. Miracles. But once again, you go back to my webpage, www.beingjohnasher.com, and you connect with me. You can get my email. And my email is actually john@beingjohnasher.com.
Excellent. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, John. And for everyone, stay safe, be blessed, and remember the affirmation that John just gave us. All life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. We'll see you next Thursday. And happy Easter for those that celebrate this coming Sunday.
Yes. Bye.